And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Psalm 91 is a very, very important psalm. And tonight I want to encourage you with the word. And if you haven't heard, there's going to be a wedding tomorrow. I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. It's too late now. And the word is out, okay? They're getting hitched tomorrow at 3:16. Now, you show up at 3:20, you're going to miss it. It's specific. There they are, right there. And that's a great story. It's a great story. It really is a great story how God brought them together. And you can make it tomorrow. It'd be a blessing. It's going to be right here in the foyer of the church. And we're honored to have that. It's a very special time. So we're going to the chapel and we're going to get married. Just don't want it to be the other song. You saw me crying in the child. Don't want that to happen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just marked myself. One of the things that we as Christians have to guard against, very seriously, we have to guard against this right here. Fear. And fear can be a spirit that's sent to bring torment into your life. Someone said that that fear is the opposite of faith. And there's a lot of truth to that. And the enemy likes to bring torment in our life, and one of the ways he does that is through a spirit of fear. Whether it be the you're having a sickness and you go to the doctor and you get a bad report. If something happens in your life unexpectedly, if something breaks down and you wonder, where in the world am I going to get the money to deal with this? Fear can come at you, or you know, anxiety or worry is fear. And Jesus, someone said over 365 times, the Bible says, fear not, one for every day. We're not to live in fear. Other scriptures like Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Don't be anxious, worry, or have fear about anything. You think that's not reasonable in this world. I mean, how in the world do you actually live that way? Well, that's in the natural, it's not possible. In the natural, it is not possible. But when God adds his super to our natural, it becomes supernatural. We're called to live a supernatural life. Not a natural life, but a supernatural life. God is with us. And everything we do from now on is a co-laboring. In fact, you know, God isn't with us like he's out here. Sometimes people pray, and I know, I think they mean well, but they're praying error when they say, God, come be with us. That would be like me saying to Pam, Pam, come be with us. You say, what's wrong with you, boy? I'm right here. And they may mean well, but they've learned traditionally some wrong ways of praying. Lord, come be with us. Holy Spirit, come. You're asking God to do things he can't do. He's already here. He's already here. So when we learn that he's in our life as and we could be born from above with his Spirit, He's in the center of our life. That means that God and I do everything together from now on. We do everything together. And it's a co-laboring. And I just need to be aware of His presence more. I'm not always aware of His presence, but the more I am aware of His presence, it enables me to conquer this thing called fear and enter what God calls rest. Knowing that He's with me and that He's already done everything to enable me to live a victorious life. And He'll help me. I'm not doing this alone. Hallelujah. We co-labor. God works, but He doesn't do it without me. And I work, and I don't do it without Him. And together we co-labor. It's a pretty good marriage. It's a marriage is what it is. It's a marriage between you and God. We're called the bride of Christ for a reason. And so we learned that everything we do in this life from now on is a co-laboring. I don't do anything alone. We co-labor. One of the powerful keys to living in the super, God's adding His super to your natural and living a supernatural life with God at the center of your life and overcoming fear is to have a few of the Psalms memorized and you tuck them away in your heart. The Psalms are very special. They're put in the middle of the Bible to help us worship and to help us sometimes when our minds just suddenly fly off into a panic or something. And the Psalms are so strong to be able to bring us back to what's familiar and to bring us back to worship and bring us back. I mean, think about the Psalms. You probably know more Psalms or pieces of Psalms than any of the other parts of the Bible. Tell me some of your favorite Psalms. Psalm 23. You could start quoting it right now, couldn't you? Okay. Psalm 1. Psalm 103. Psalm 107. 119. Psalm 19. Psalm 91. I'm glad you mentioned that one. And Psalm 46, one of my favorite. Be still and know that I'm God. I mean, these things, when we just say them in an atmosphere that's flooded with fear, it brings a calmness to us. There's power in the Word when we speak it, when we speak it. And one of the powerful keys, one of the reasons we're supposed to do this, even in the New Testament, Ephesians 3:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. He didn't say, pray to be filled with the Spirit. He said, be filled. So evidently, it's already available to you. You have the Spirit of God. To be filled means to be, okay, now let's just let the Spirit of God flood everything in my thinking. Bring my thinking into God's thoughts. And as we do that, he says, speak, in verse 19, after he says, be filled with the Spirit, he says, speaking to yourselves. Who's speaking? Me. And who am I speaking to? Me. Speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns. This is why I stressed to Grayson a couple weeks ago. I said, I really want us in Sunday morning, I want us to sing a hymn every service. Because it's not because we're older and we need hymns. I don't want all hymns, but we need a hymn in every service because hymns are our history. And they're familiar. You can start singing a hymn and it immediately brings back, triggers memories, usually of comfort. And that's what Psalms are supposed to be. Supposed to trigger a memory of something that you, oh, yeah, 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 the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And hymns and spiritual songs, meaning you and the Holy Spirit together co-labor and create a spiritual song. You just create a melody. You create something. And you just sing it to you over and over. And you're singing it to you. It's coming out of you, and you're singing it to you. This is what the sign of being filled with the Spirit is. Speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that's why psalms are so important. because you're familiar with them. And here's one psalm you should know. You should know at least, it's only 16 verses. You could take over the next few weeks and say, I'm going to memorize one a week or two a week, one verse a week, 2 weeks, whatever. And in just a few weeks, you'd have Psalm 91 memorized. And you could store it in your heart. And you could pull it out at any moment, anywhere, anytime, because you've already hidden it down in your heart. And Psalm 91 is one of those powerful psalms you really need to, you need to digest it. And you need to know it by heart. So I want to, these cards are given to you, so you can just keep it with you, and wherever you are, you can pull it out and go over it and just meditate on it. You got a free moment throughout your day. You can do that. Now I want everybody to read this verse, first verse one out loud. It's out of the King James Version. I want you to say it out loud with me. He that dwelleth in the of the Most High shall abide. There's a lot of meat there. A lot to unpack. He that dwelleth, who's to do the dwelling? Me? I mean, if I do what this says, I get what it says. He that dwelleth. Dwell means to sit down, means to settle. It means to remain in this place of rest in His presence. In the old covenant, the priest would offer sacrifices in the morning and the evening. The morning sacrifice was 9 a.m. So the priest would be there. He'd be up and he'd be working. He'd offer the sacrifice at 9 a.m. in the morning. And he would stay on his feet for 6 hours until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. At 3 p.m. in the afternoon, he would offer the evening sacrifice. He wouldn't sit down at all during that time. Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 a.m. on the morning. He was on the cross for 6 hours. At 3 p.m., he said, "It's finished." And the veil was torn. Now, the priest no longer offers sacrifices anymore because the final sacrifice has been offered. The priest no longer stands anymore. He sits down because his work is done, you see. And this is what this is talking about for you and I to understand who our God is and what He's done so we can settle down and enter into His rest and not fear anything that comes our way. It's finished. Everything that God has done is complete. Our part is to believe it's done. And we have free access. The veil was torn when Jesus died. Do you know that's when the New Testament began? The New Testament does not begin at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter 1. Does not. Jesus lived in the old covenant until He died. And the moment the veil was torn, the new covenant began. Yeah. That's why you got to be careful reading even the parts of the New Testament. There are parts of it that's still under the old covenant. They're showing, you know, they were under the old covenant, so they had to obey those laws and all that. But the new covenant began, you can mark it in your Bible, right where the veil was torn. That's the new covenant. And that's where you and I are to dwell. So we're to rest. We are to settle down. We're to rely on. We're to trust in what God has done and what He said. And the highest level of faith will manifest this way. Not striving, but resting. Resting. Confidence in God. And actually, Hebrews 4:11, you can look it up later. Hebrews 4:11 says that, of all things, you labor to rest. To have this kind of rest, you have to labor. It's an oxymoron. How in the world do you labor to rest? By faith. You have to fight the good fight of faith, Ron. You got to believe what God says more than your five physical senses. Your five physical senses, sight, sound, smell, touch, taste, will fight against faith all the time. When God will say something is true in the spirit, your five physical senses will say, well, that's not true because I don't see it, because I can't touch it. God says, by his stripes, you were healed. Past tense, were healed. I was talking to a fellow the other day, precious brother, and he's not doing well physically. And I sat down and talked to him for a minute and said, how are you and what's going on? And he says, I'm praying that God's going to heal me. I said, brother, I understand that and been through that, but you got to understand something. You got to pray prayers that are lined up with what God has said, not what you see. God has said, by his stripes, you were healed. That's not to deny the fact that you're dealing and fighting with a sickness, but it is lining your words up to say what God is saying. That's no different than praying, God, come be with us. It's unbelief. If I say, church, let's pray that God come be with us, I'm leading you in unbelief. We must line up with what God says. You said, this is why you're, I don't know about all that, because you're living by your five senses. And we have got to learn to live in the spirit more than the physical senses. You sure can.
If the Holy Spirit is in us, and if you're born again, he is in you. So wherever you go, he's with you. So we never have to say, come be with me, because he's here. It's like an insult saying you don't believe that he's really in you, so you have to always keep inviting him in. No. He resides here. He's here. So wherever you are, he is. And that's why we're carriers of the presence. Wherever we go, we have his presence. We carry it with us. And it should make a difference wherever we go. So we don't have to beg God, be with us, God. No. If I'm sure he's like, really? How many times do you have to ask me that? Do you not believe I really am with you? When you're born again, I am with you always. And so we really have to retrain this brain that somehow goes back to some old tradition, whatever it is, traditions of men. We have to retrain our brain to believe what this says over what our brain is saying. So he is with you. Say it. He is with me wherever I go. He never leaves me. So I carry his presence wherever I go. So I was sitting there getting stirred up. I'm like, okay, Lord, they've got to grab this. They can't always be saying, God, be with me. And he's like, I'm not even going to answer that one. That's just not even worth answering. You've got to get it to where you just believe that I am with you and just say, thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're with me. As I go into this doctor appointment, as I go into this interview, as I go into, thank you, your presence is with me, and it will make a difference. So,
yeah, it's a real battle with our flesh and with our five physical senses, especially our sight, especially healing, because healing in particular, you got your phone on, brother. You got your phone on. You want me to answer it for you? I talked to him. but you know, you're not denying the reality that you're dealing with a sickness, but you are denying the sickness's right to rule over your faith. You're saying, in essence, no, I know that I'm dealing with this, but I believe that by his stripes I was healed. And sometimes the manifestation doesn't come, like for Pam and I in the past few weeks with this cough and all this stuff, doesn't manifest until through faith and patience you inherit the promises. You just got to continue on, continue on, continue on, continue on, you know. So anyway, I'm getting off on a different subject here. So we need to dwell in this place. Let's bring up that verse again, Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth. The dwelling is the place where we live. It's the place where we rest. It's the place where we stay. It's our place of faith. We're dwelling in this secret place. What's the secret place? It's a place that everybody's not familiar with. It's the place where God lives. In me. Now, He lives in me. And if I dwell in that reality and dwell in that truth, and I may have to labor to rest, believe that, stay in faith, because it is possible to have the Word of God and not profit from it. Hebrews 4:2 tells about the children of Israel. It says the same word was preached to them that was preached to us, but the word they heard did not profit them because they didn't have faith with it. So faith is going to come diabolically opposing and directly head on hit us right in the five senses. And we got to decide which side are we. Are we going to stay on this side where we can see and taste, touch, and feel and explain everything? Or are we going to move up to the realm of faith, of spirit? Amen? Oh, me. So if we do our part to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then we have the promise we'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, there's two names of God here that are very important. The word Most High is the word for God, Elyon, which means He's the God who possesses everything. He's the God who possesses everything. Everything is His. And He's the Almighty. That's the word Shaddai, which means the God who's unlimited. There's nothing that He can't do and nothing that He can't get His hands on. Now, many people know this psalm and they can even quote this verse to you, but they haven't entered into this secret place of rest. It's not a geographical location. It's a spiritual intimacy that you already have if you're born from above with God that you may not be accessing. You have to press in to find it. You have to press in by faith, meditating on this psalm, especially when you're afraid. It's a good one to teach children. Meditate on this psalm. Then declare it over yourself. Declare it over your family. Remind yourself. Faith is something you got to feed yourself. You got to feed it by putting the words of God in your mouth. You got to put the words of God in your ears. You got to put the words of God in your eyes. And you need to put it in your heart. So you've got to interact with this. You just can't read the Bible and expect to get faith. You play a part in this, and it's vital, especially, that you start declaring the Word of God over you, which I'm going to show you in just a moment how to do that. Now, we live in dangerous times, there's no doubt. But we're not alone. You're never alone. So if your worst nightmare happens to you, you are not alone. Now, you've heard testimonies before of people who've been kidnapped or abducted by somebody or held prisoner or whatever by somebody, and yet they were a Christian, and immediately, of course, some testimonies I've heard, they would cry out to the Lord out loud, "Jesus, you're with me. Jesus, help me." And they'd have supernatural help, supernatural deliverance, supernatural freedom. That's actually biblical. For you to cry out to God in a loud voice, God hears it, and your enemy hears it. What's a good parent going to do when their child cries out? Going to be right there. And we have a good father. Now, notice that we are to live in this awareness that God is with me. I have a degree of supernatural protection over my life because He's with me. I dwell in the secret place of the awareness that my El Elyon is with me. The Almighty is with me. I'm not alone. I'm not doing what I do alone. You can only see me, but God is working in me and through me right now to you. I know that. because I know how limited I am, but He's unlimited. He'll give me words and thoughts and illustrations that I hadn't even thought of, and boom, they just pour out, pour out, pour out. Because God's with me. So we're doing this together. Someone said, boy, you preached a good message on Sunday morning. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But it's actually God and I together. See, me preaching a message won't be that good. But God and I together, we do a pretty good job. We're a good team. We're a good marriage. And that's what I recognize. It's a co-laboring, see. Now, God could use somebody else. He doesn't have to have me. I understand that. I have to have Him. But He really likes us doing this thing together. And He likes doing this thing called life with you together as well. And so here's one of the ways He wants you to take these scriptures off the pages, black ink off of white paper, and then now for you to utilize it in your life this week. Here's what He says in verse 2. He says this, I will say of the Lord. Now, here's another word for God. The word Lord, there's the word Jehovah or Yahweh, and it's the God of covenant. He's the God of promise. He's not only the God of possessions and the God who's unlimited to be able to get anything, but He is the God of promise, God of covenant. So you can trust Him. What He says He will do. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's pledged Himself to be what He said He is. So here's the question. He says, I will say of the Lord. Now we're going to take this promise from God, this truth of God we know, and we're going to declare it out of our mouth. It's going to be like a double-edged sword coming out of our mouth. I will say of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What are you saying of the Lord lately? If you had a recorder to listen to your mouth in the last 24 hours, what would your life reveal that you've been saying of the Lord? Maybe not directly about the Lord, but just kind of indirectly. Are you saying He can heal you, but He hasn't healed you yet? Like I heard this fellow say. And I had to correct that. And I know that's strange and that's odd, but we got to learn to line up with the Word of God. Listen to your words. If you're saying the same thing the Word says that God has said, then you're on good ground. So a preacher said the other night, Pam was telling me this, you heard a preacher said, your words are the carriers of either life or death. Your words are the carriers of hope or depression. Your words are the carriers of anger or of peace. Your words are the carriers of faith or unbelief. Your words are carriers. Your words just carry what you really believe. So be careful what you say. I will say of the Lord. What are you going to say? He goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Next verse. He's my refuge. And that means He's the shelter from the storm. He's my place of safety. So when I need it, I say it. When I need protection, when I need assurance of protection, I say of the Lord, Lord, You are my refuge. I say it to myself and I say it to the atmosphere. The Lord is my refuge. That's why it's good to quote this psalm. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my place of safety. Then he goes on to say, and not only is my refuge, but He's my fortress. And so you can say of the Lord, He's my fortress. He's my stronghold, my defense from attacks of the enemy. Yes, I'm being attacked, but the Lord's my fortress. Hallelujah. And then you can also say that He is my God. And that word God there is the word Elohim. He's my creator. 2,700 times this word is used. He's my Elohim. He's my creator. He's the God of power. This is our God. This is the one we put our trust in. Not some fabricated God, not the money God, not the medicine God, not the government God, but this God who created everything that there is, Elohim, Shaddai, Elyon. This is my God, I say of the Lord. He's my refuge. He is my fortress. He's my God. in whom I trust. And just by saying that, you get strength. Just by saying that, you weaken your enemy. Now, let's put the meaning of the words of the names of God there in this, and so you understand. He who dwells in the secret place of Elyon, the God who possesses everything, shall abide under the shadow of Shaddai, the God who is unlimited. And I'll say of Jehovah, the God of promise, He is my refuge, my fortress, my Elohim, my creator, the God of power, in Him I trust. So we've made it real clear who's our refuge, who's our fortress, and who's our power. Amen? So now we personalize it. Now you take scripture like this and you turn it into prayer. You turn it into things you can say in the first person. I'd like you to say this with me, okay? Say it out loud. Lord, I say of You that You are my refuge. You are my fortress from the enemy. You are my God. In You I completely trust. I lean on, I rely on You. Now, that just brings strength into your spirit. You're making your physical senses, you're deadening them and say, I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you see. This is what I'm saying. There's power when you say truth and you speak truth to your circumstances. Why do you think that Jesus said, speak to the mountain? Not the physical mountain, but it's the physical obstacle that's in your way. It's blocking your view of God. You speak to it. You say to it. You talk to it. The Christian life is a life of speaking God's Word. We're to be professing the words of God, not the negative things of the world. The words coming out of our mouth. So we personalize things. So let me ask you a question. Are you enjoying dwelling in His presence throughout the day? And not just in the morning when you have your coffee and have your quiet time. But I mean, do you enjoy? You don't have to wait for church to have a feeling till the right song is played that you like and you get goosebumps. You don't have to wait till somebody touches you in a certain way. No, you already enjoy the presence. Well, then you must be saying the right things. See, you can enjoy God's presence all the time and not wait for a feeling or a sense, physical sense type thing, but by speaking to Him and about Him. That should be happening all day long. Even if you don't feel so much God's presence, you know He's with you. You know that from Scripture. And so maybe you've been saying some wrong things about God. Or maybe you've been saying some wrong things. You've been focusing on this stuff too much, and you've been talking about the negative and all the bad things that have happened, the things you're worried about, and what are you going to do and all that. Well, what you need to do is, as a result of that, you need to, how am I feeling? Well, I'm feeling like God's distant. Like God's not helping me, that He's not. Well, you've been saying the wrong things. Your words are carriers of power, either negative or positive. I mean, even New Age people know that. And they're not born again. But they know that. Your words are powerful. And the Bible tells us life and death and the power of the tongue in our Bible. Now, I think it's important for us to invest time learning to dwell in the presence. Now, how do you do that? Well, He's always with me. But when I take time to dwell, I'm aware of and I rest and I settle down in the truth of God's Word. Now, we're going to do a little practice here today. Now, if you're already physically tired in your body, you've worked hard today or whatever it is, and if you're going to sit there and we play some soft music and you're going to feel like you're going to nod off, for the sake of just giving a few minutes, don't do that. If your body's tired, then get up. Stand, feel free, liberty, freedom. You can stand up. See, if you're tired and the preacher says, look, if you're tired and you feel like you're going to go to sleep, then stand up. Then I'm going to stand up. I'm just trying to illustrate to you how you stand up when the preacher says you can do that. So you have freedom. Now, this is an exercise, a spiritual exercise. This isn't nap time. It's spiritual exercise. We do soaking in our church. If you're not familiar, you need to become familiar with it. That will help you learn to become more aware of the glorious presence of God who's already with you. And you cut out all outside distractions and you learn to dwell on the one who's already with you. And you just be still and let everything settle like a snow globe. You know, you shake a snow globe and all the stuff flying around, and then you finally let it stop. Be still and know that I'm God. You let everything settle. When's the last time you got still? And you can be still and your mind's just whirling around. No. Let your minds. No. You be still. Now, our focus is on dwelling in the presence of the Lord. And by doing that on a regular basis, I'm telling you, you get strong spiritually by practicing the presence that way. And I do this quite often. And I may have more liberty of time than some of you to do this. But there's sometimes, even when I'm busy, that I got to say, hold all phone calls. I'm not talking to anybody. Jenny, don't let anybody contact me, whatever, knock on my door for the next 20 minutes or half an hour. I'm going to shut down. I'm going to turn on some soaking music, and I'm going to be still. And I'm just going to enjoy God's presence. Now, that may sound odd to you if you've never done this before. We're not going to do an hour or half an hour today, but just a few minutes of this time to learn to be still and dwell in the presence of the Lord. So, we'll keep the lights up. Go ahead and put the scripture on the screen. And then, Eric, you go ahead and play the music. Listen, if you want to get up and walk around, get up more. But I want you to dwell on this scripture. Dwell on this. Say it to yourself. I'm dwelling in the secret place, Lord, of the Most High God. I'm dwelling with you with me. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm under the supernatural protection of the Lord, the Almighty, the one who's with me. One who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Teach me to dwell. Teach me to be still and enjoy you, God. Now keep your focus on those scriptures and let the Spirit of God speak to you as you dwell there. Thank you. You as you begin to do this more and more on your own, you will, you know, with or without music, you will just begin to create songs to the Lord. And they may not make sense to anybody listening, but it's coming out of your spirit to God. And it's a one-to-one thing. It's an intimacy thing that, you know, when you're intimate with another person, you may say things and do things that you may not say or would make sense to anyone out in public. And in the same thing with God, I mean, God knows your heart. He knows what you're meaning. He knows what you're communicating. He knows what you're thinking. And so it's so important to learn to be comfortable in the presence of the one who knows everything about you. And he absolutely loves you unconditionally. I mean, there should be no fear. He's a God that's not condemning you. He's not accusing you. He's loving you. And he's accepting of you. And that's incredible. And you're, if anybody's hard on you, it's not him, it's you. You're probably hard on yourself. He's just loving you. He's loving you. He's wanting you to learn how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, where you have every need is already met. He wants you to learn how to dwell there and get beyond your five physical senses and let him add his super to your natural so you live a supernatural life. Now, I just wanted you to have a little taste of this tonight, and I didn't see anybody else walking around other than me, and that's fine, but I just want you to be comfortable, and especially in our church, when we do exercises or we worship or whatever, that you don't have to sit. Church is not to be a spectator sport. It's to be interactive. You should be interacting, and you don't come to watch the preacher and watch the worship leaders. You come to be the church. You are the church. We don't come to church. You are the church. So you must be interactive. You must get involved. You must, you know, you participate. God's not distant. We're distracted. God's not distant. He's not, you know, a wave of inspiration that comes into the room. He's here all the time. He wants to meet with you. He wants to love on you. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to talk to you. And he wants to for you to talk to him. He wants you to just be relaxed in his presence and realize how valuable you are and how much you are loved. And so it's vital for us to understand that when you hear the word of God preached, like tonight you've heard two verses, Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. You're going to take it home with you on a little card. You heard two verses. And we didn't even go in depth in expounding on it. So once you hear the word, now you have the word. Why do I have this word from God? You already should be reading that up there on the screen. Do you know that the Bible you have and the scriptures we have, the written word, was first the spoken word before it was ever the written word, but God put it in writing so that you could use it as the spoken word. He doesn't give you preaching and teaching and scriptures and the Bible and cards with scripture on it just so that you can have something. He gives it to you because it's an arsenal, but it's not going to do any good until it comes out of your mouth to your mountain, your situation, and you say it because you know it's true. You speak it. You speak it. Paul said this. The Apostle Paul said, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We believe, and therefore we. Now, Psalm 91 is to be tucked away in your heart so that you can pull it out and speak it anytime that you need it. And this week, you might need a refuge. You might need a fortress. You might need to declare the God in whom you trust. And so you start speaking your protection. You start speaking to your health. You start speaking your victory. Put the word in your mouth and speak it. I will say of the Lord, the covenant-keeping God, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Doesn't matter what my physical senses say. Doesn't matter what you see. I know where I'm trusting. And I spoke it out of my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. It's going to come to pass. Yes, you have something?
Yes. Years ago, a pastor, John Jimenez, was in an airplane that the weather was very bad, and it looked like it was going to go down. And he opened his Bible to Psalm 91, those first two verses, and the Lord gave him a song on that. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard it, but it's word for word. I'll try and sing it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust.
Oh, I love that.
And needless to say, the plane did not go down.
Amen. That's a very good close. Amen. 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 Let's stand together. Oh, I wish we need that. We need that song. I like that. Grayson, you can learn that one and teach it to us, brother.
Sue comes up with all kinds of creative little songs. At our women's meetings, she would. It was like God would just drop down some little song in her spirit, and she'd just sing it, and it's like, oh my goodness, it really impacted. And like the little rubber ducky song or whatever that was, I forget that. But it really was a special, it was meant for that time, and it really impacted the ladies.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God, in Him will I trust. Now this week, rest this week, those two verses you should meditate on in the morning and in the evening. God's promises, if you meditate on His word day and night, you'll prosper and have good success. So meditate, you have something, you have a focus. Keep it before you. The word will not return void. It will accomplish what God intends for it to do. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Love some people before you go home tonight. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.